Hi, Chris Valentin here. Welcome to my podcast, where I hope to inspire you to transform the world within you and transform the world around you.
The conversation you're about to listen to came from a Q&A session on my social media platforms. I hope you enjoy today's episode.
So we're going to have an exciting conversation. Elizabeth is, actually, we've been friends for a long time. She is part of the Change Movement, which is kind of an offshoot of Moral Revolution, in that they are actually specifically targeting the LGBTQ movement, or people, I should say, as they're pastoring, shepherding, and helping them. So it's really, really powerful. And so let's just talk a little bit. First of all, there's probably a lot of people on here, they actually don't, they've never heard of you, they don't know who you are, and your personal story is pretty powerful. Why don't you give an overview of your personal story?
Yeah, so probably the easiest or the shortest way to share is that, you know, when I was a teen, I questioned my sexuality for several years, and then, you know, ultimately came out when I was in my early 20s. And
you came out as gay?
As gay.
Yeah, okay.
Came out as a lesbian when I was in my early 20s. Grappled with my faith, also grappled with mental illness, something I don't
talk
about.
So you were a believer at the time when you came out?
Yeah. But I became part of the gay-affirming church world, so I went to seminary openly lesbian. And it wasn't until I kind of graduated with my master's degree in theology that I had an encounter with Jesus through a prophetic word that a 17-year-old boy gave me.
Wow.
And I had never, in my context, I had never heard of such a thing. Like
prophetic word.
A prophetic word. I was, my background was highly academic, intellectualized, you know, gospel. And so the notion of being able to hear directly from the Lord was completely out of the box for me. And so he approached me with what he called a word from the Lord that turned out to be something I had been praying about for years.
Wow.
So in that moment, though, I remember thinking, is it possible to directly hear from the Lord? If it is, if it's possible for God to know me specifically, then I have no idea who God is. And so, you know, just as I was beginning parish ministry after finishing seminary, I went on a journey to discover who God was. And it was really in that, you know, in that moment, God didn't convict me of sin regarding my sexuality. I was convicted of unbelief.
Wow.
And, you know, as a pastor, that was a little bit of a problem.
You were already a pastor.
Well, I was, you know,
I don't
at that
think
time,
you shared that.
So at that time, I was part of the church. They were not yet ordained as lesbians. It was still some years before, up to that point. So I was doing youth ministry, openly gay, though, in a church. And so that set me on a journey to rereading scripture.
And we're, let's see, I may have not remembered the story right, so feel free to correct me. But I think, were you not helping, like writing a white paper or something on why it's okay to be gay and a Christian or something? Was there?
Well, I mean, actually,
a long
time
ago.
I mean, I was doing ministry in the gay community, in a metropolitan area. And I mean, a lot of, probably this is what you're thinking of, a lot of my seminary experience was about kind of moving the church into this affirming stance, because not because we wanted to destroy the church or Christianity or anything like that. What that was the only way we could conceive of LGBT identifying people being saved. Like, we had no context, no understanding of some of the things that I've learned through the Holy Spirit since then, you know. And so we were just trying to help the church embrace this body of people, which so many people are trying to do today, but not realizing that there's so much complexity to the experience of someone who identifies as LGBTQ, and not knowing that the Lord can touch those deep places to make change, transformation, bring healing. You know, full redemption is really what I've experienced, and those have changed who followed the Lord.
I think also, if I remember correctly, again, it's been a long time since I've actually heard your testimony, but you also went to counseling, some sort of counseling, but this is a long time ago, to I think was trying to deal with the just the temptation of homosexuality, right? Or the identity of it. Was that true?
No, that's not true. So, I mean, Ken went through years of counseling. So the other co-founder of Change Movement, Ken Williams, is interesting because we have an interesting a good pairing of leadership, because he was within the church, but not the non-affirming side of church, and was going through all of these years of counseling. And it wasn't until he also experienced a miracle.
Yeah.
So I experienced a prophetic word. He experienced a physical healing.
Yeah.
And it was in that experience that he realized, oh my gosh, God is good. If God is good, then maybe the Lord can actually touch this space.
Yes.
And that change, that revolutionized his thinking. And ultimately, he came here to BSSM and started walking out his journey.
Yeah. So Ken was the one who went through counseling. You're the one that had the encounter, came out without the counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I had years of secular counseling while I identified as lesbian. And interestingly, like, none of it touched on my sexuality. And maybe if it had, I might not have actually ultimately embraced lesbianism.
Yeah.
But because secular counseling wouldn't allow me to process those things, I would say it directed me into the gay community. And so, but that's another conversation altogether.
So now tell me a little bit about the change movement, because obviously, great personal story. I know you and Ken really well. So what is the change movement, and who are you ministering to?
Yeah, so I mean, some years ago, maybe 2017, Ken and I started thinking about doing a ministry here at Bethel that we called Equipped to Love.
Yeah, Equipped to Love.
Mm-hmm. And we no sooner got it started than California tried to pass some laws, a consumer fraud bill, that would have caused us to have trouble doing our ministry. It would have inhibited free speech.
Yeah.
And so we ended up getting involved in Sacramento and ended up bringing several of our friends who had similar testimonies as ours. So, I mean, I've been married to my husband, Doug, since 2005, and Ken and Tiffany, I think, since 2006. And so we wanted to say sexual orientation can change. God can impact that. But more than that, LGBTQ identifying people should have the right to pursue their conscience freely. And this consumer fraud bill would have made that impossible.
Yeah.
So we got involved. And out of that, then did a rally. We published a book of testimonies. And around that, this network formed of people who, like us, had left LGBTQ to follow Christ. And so the changed movement emerged, and we've kind of been chasing that ever since, really. You know, so it's
kind of chasing you too.
It is kind of, you know, I mean, it's this worldwide communion or network of people who have chosen to leave LGBTQ to follow Christ, and who have received a lot of inner healing and emotional healing and transformation in that process. So now what we do day to day is we spend a lot of time equipping churches to create safety for people who want to follow Christ wholeheartedly according to a biblical sexual ethic. So leaving LGBT culture and embracing their new identity, their born again identity in Christ. And then, but we still have a side that's involved in public policy. Since we were kind of born out of the political side, we still continue to engage in that space, which, I mean, increasingly has been super important as culture has been more embracing of LGBT culture, which isn't universally bad. But while it's been doing that, it's also become anti-Christian, which, of course, has caused lots of problems.
Yeah, it really is. I know that there's I heard Poland yesterday. I read an article that Poland is considering making it not just illegal to speak against homosexuality, but also it's actually comes with imprisonment. So it's like trying to, you know, two things bother me there. The obvious that I don't agree with their stance. But secondly, it's like you're gonna actually, like, you're doing away with free speech.
Mm-hmm. I mean, on the one hand, you know, I mean, there's the sentiment to protect people who want to identify as LGBTQ. But on the other hand, if it violates your conscience, if you're struggling with feelings that you don't desire, or if you've been led to believe that you're something, and then you start to question your sexual identity, like, I question, am I really gay? Am I really lesbian? Then it means that you have no freedom to question that in your own life, to get help or to walk out or even to embrace a biblical sexual ethic. You know, so on the one hand, it protects this group of people, but then it strongly really abuses another, and it affects all Christians in how they express their faith.
Yeah, I don't, you know, obviously love, you know, doctrines that I would call immoral, but I would stand up for their right to have an opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what free society should be.
Right.
And I don't want you to take away my opinion, and I'm not trying to take away yours. And I think the free exchange of ideas is at the foundation of democracy.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
You get rid of that, you're on communism's doorstep right there.
Yeah, I mean, the implications of the trajectory of a lot of the non-discrimination legislation that's happening around the world is it's totalitarian. It's completely intolerant of any opposing view. And same-sex sexual feelings are complex. It's not the same as, say, race.
Yeah.
You know, it's not
in your DNA.
It's not in your DNA. It's much more complex than that. And there's never been universal scientific consensus, even on the foundations of the feelings. And so to enshrine it as an identity that is sacrosanct, basically, it can't be touched, it can't be questioned. That's super dangerous.
Yeah, it's like being Asian or Caucasian or Black. It's like it's in your DNA. You can't help it. It's like, no,
that,
I'm sorry.
It's not the same for, you know, I mean, geneticists have concluded it's not genetic.
Yeah.
But it's so much more complex than that because it involves environment as well as temperament. I mean, there are biological factors, but at the same time, sexual fluidity is the norm. Statistically within the gay community, the smallest who could say they're explicitly only one same-sex attracted. Like, universally, it's mostly fluid. In fact, statistically, the majority of the LGBTQ population are bisexual. And so sexual fluidity is the norm.
In their community.
In the norm.
Yeah,
but, you know,
I thought you meant like is normal. I'm like, no, you're talking about in their community.
Well, in their community.
Yeah, so they're no longer actually, they're no longer saying I was born this way because it is fluid now.
Well,
I'm just saying, like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when I wrote Moral Revolution, like homosexuality was trying to be proven that it's in your DNA. It's actually part of your biology. Mm-hmm. But that argument got, you know, scientifically debunked a long time ago. And now what you're saying is they're like, oh yeah, well, I'm not gay by biology. I am just, my sexuality is completely fluid. I make those choices.
I mean, really the nature of the LGBTQ movement is really changing. I mean, it's becoming politicized in a way that 30 years ago it never was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so now mostly like Gen Z, for example, Gallup just said that 29% of Gen Z identify as LGBTQ. That's over a 60% increase in the number of people identifying as LGBT in the last 10 years. And so, I mean, what's happening is this huge socio-political movement is forming, and young people who want to belong in culture and be relevant are really being mm-hmm. pushed into those spaces. Like, the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, published this year that the number of teenage pregnancies, the statistic of teenage pregnancies, is higher for young teenage lesbians than it is for girls who don't identify. So girls who identify as heterosexual. Lesbian teenage girls have a higher.
And supposedly they're having sex with other girls.
That's right.
But and you can't get pregnant. Having sex with another girl
is your
biological point.
So the whole movement has become something entirely different.
Well, here's the deal. If I identify as homosexual 20 years ago, as I was explaining, where I actually, maybe I even actually believe I'm biologically prone to this, right? I am, mm-hmm. I'm pre-prone to this. This is who I am. But then I re-identify in the LGBTQ movement that your sexuality is fluid. Okay, well, now I actually have a bigger attraction from the standpoint of people can say, well, yeah, I like to have sex with a man this week and a woman next week. And all of a sudden, I've given more options. So obviously, that's one, it's not only am I politicizing it and I'm making it a place to belong, but I'm also changing the definition of what LGBTQ is. And I'm creating a space for more people, mm-hmm. which is...
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, yeah, the movement's becoming wild. Something really dramatically different than it yeah. ever has been before. And when you add, you know, the non-binary transgender movement that's emerging right now, it becomes even more complex. Because what used to be called, so LGB is mostly focused on the binary, male and female,
yeah.
right? But transgenderism breaks that ideology apart. And so once you get into the genderqueer, non-binary movement, then there is no biological sex, there's no binary. And so they're competing ideologies even.
Yeah, so you're saying that, in simple terms, you're saying my biology says I'm a boy, but I believe I'm a girl. So I agree with my biology that it says I'm a boy. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I am transgender, therefore I am not my biology. Mm-hmm. So instead of arguing what we were arguing 25 years ago or 30, I am biologically prone to homosexuality. Now that argument has gone out the door a long time ago. And now I'm like, I am what I choose. I am what I feel. The challenge there is that homosexuality has been viewed politically as if it's an ethnic group, mm-hmm. and giving the rights of an ethnic group. Like, should a black person be treated any different than a white person? Well, I hope everybody that is listening to this says absolutely not. Should a gay person be treated differently than a straight person? Well, absolutely not on some level, but on another level, that is the choice you made. It's not something you were presupposed to. So I don't think it puts you in the same class of people. I'm just pointing out that it should not be seen as an ethnic group.
Well, it's so, you know, this is where it's just so complex.
Yeah, complicated.
You know?
Okay, but okay, so we have about 8 minutes left. So yeah, this is deep.
Here we go.
And honestly, if you've ever been in one of these conversations with someone like Elizabeth or Ken, who's been on both sides of that issue, like relationally, I mean, actually experientially, it's super exciting and eye-opening for someone like me who's never experienced homosexuality personally, you know, as far as a person, a human, experienced it with other people, of course, in my leadership. But for somebody who has experienced that and walked through it to come back and say, well, listen, yeah, that's probably not a compassionate way to look at that. And you're not understanding the experiences that these people are having and the negative pushback from hundreds of years of culture. Mm-hmm. And so much of what's happening right now is a reaction to the way people were so mistreated and so not shown love and not shown compassion.
That's right.
And now we have this like huge wave going the other direction that basically says, you know, anything goes. Love means I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And if I don't agree with you, then I'm not being compassionate and mm-hmm. I'm not being loving. I'm not being kind. But it is a reaction to hundreds of years of
really right.
physical, mental, spiritual abuse. Okay, let's change subjects for just a little bit. It's not really a change in subject, but we have the Protect Kids Act coming up.
Yeah.
This is Act number 2024, right?
No. Oh. I don't think I know what the number actually is.
I see. This is just says Protect Act of 2024.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know what, but talk about this. First of all, what is it and why is it happening? and do it in 6 minutes, please.
the Protect Kids California Act, it brings together really what has been perceived to be three different pieces of legislation. Mm-hmm. It brings these together into one bit of legislation that is a ballot measure. So bypassing the California Senate and Assembly to put a measure on the ballot this November. And it's a piece of legislation that several parents groups came together to create because it does these three things. It protects girls' sports and women's biologically sex spaces.
Yeah.
It ensures that parents are notified if their children are identifying secretly as transgender in school.
Shouldn't they be notified? Come on.
And then it also ensures that minors cannot undergo non-reversible surgeries and procedures, okay, all in the transgender identity sphere. And so because parents have been trying to get this legislation passed unsuccessfully in the Capitol, they came together and decided we're just going to put it straight on the ballot so that California voters can express themselves bypassing their representatives in the Capitol. And that's what makes this an unusual bit of legislation, because we've watched this ideological capture happen of among our representatives who want to protect the LGBTQ community, but also aren't acknowledging the potential harms and risks for children.
Yeah.
And parents are being kind of cut out of their children's lives in some ways, many ways, by the government in California. And so this gets around that. So right now, they're in the process of collecting signatures on a petition. So in order to make the ballot, they have to have upwards of 500,000 handwritten signatures.
That is a lot of signatures.
Yeah. And so they are right now in the process of collecting those signatures. I think the deadline is the beginning of May, end of April, to get those signatures.
Yeah, and so just to be clear, you have to live in California, true? To
be a
California resident.
You have to be a registered voter.
You have to be a registered voter. Mm-hmm. And you actually have to physically, you can't, it's not an online kind of signature. You have to physically, so what they call a wet signature, right? Mm,
yeah.
You have to physically sign it. So you have to go someplace where somebody is taking the signatures.
Yeah, or you can actually download it. So if you go to protectkidsca.com, you can read the measure on that website. And they actually have one that you can download. It has, I think it has 5 or 10 different signature spaces. So you and your spouse or your family could sign it. And they have an address and instructions on how to return it so that you could actually do it yourself.
Well, this is something we're, you know, we're doing here at Bethel Church. We're actually setting up in our lobbies after services and asking people to come and actually, if you're a California resident and a voter, to come and sign these, because this is really huge. Guys, think about this. This is, you know, common sense has become so uncommon. First of all, I have responsibility for what my children do. I should, right? If they're in my home, if they're minors, I should be responsible to for their behavior. And then I don't, if some of the tools have taken away from parents, like, I don't know, my child is actually identifying as LGBTQ at school. Like, how am I responsible for something I don't even know it's happening? That's the first thing. And then, you know, I think women especially ought to be, I mean, there ought to be, you know, protesting going on in the area of women's sports, because I, you know, you got men posing as women, you know, in almost every sport now. It's so crazy, and they're dominating. They're setting records that will, you know, potentially never be broken by a woman, and that's just unfair. Think about somebody who's, you know, in college, who's, you know, been an athlete, a woman in college, been an athlete. And, you know, and then her scholarship's taken away because a man has, you know, has eclipsed her records, beat her in swimming, beat her in wrestling, beat her in whatever sport. It's just, this is just common sense. Like, we cannot, there's nothing that's going to physically change a man into a woman. It's going to be cosmetic. And then the third thing, what was the third thing really?
Surgeries.
Yeah, surgeries. I mean, we don't want children who, you know, it's illegal for them to smoke, but they can have a surgery to remove their breasts, their penis, like, or take puberty blockers, which we're finding now to have really crazy side effects on adulthood. So these are all things that, these seem like very common sense. Like, I don't understand why they couldn't get the legislative body to actually bring this before for a vote without having to do this, but we need to rise up and do this. So please, 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 sign this. Let's get it on the ballot, and let's let the people make a choice.
Yeah. So, you know, if you go to protectkidsca.com, you can read that measure, you can download the petition, you can get involved in other ways there at that website.
Yeah. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, such a pleasure.
You are one of the most brilliant and interesting people I've ever met in my life. Hey, we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us. And please, we didn't get to any questions today. There was just a couple of questions. But I'd love to have questions, and maybe we can do a Q&A with Elizabeth and just do a whole 20 or 30 minutes with just Q&A.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. To stay connected, you can sign up for my weekly newsletter at chrisvalentin.com/subscribe. God bless you.